Now, what do you call those things again? Okay, let me check.
We've all been there, me about 15 times already today, probably more. Lost for a word, a concept, a date, you type in google.com, or google.de, or google.co.uk, or whatever. Within seconds, you're often on your way to finding the answer. Google.com, the domain name, was registered 10 years ago, on September 15, 1997, by Larry Page and Sergey Brin. 1 year later, they formed a little corporation. Today, they're a major chapter in the book of Silicon Valley lore. Alexander Strehl is a professor of information systems at Allen University's International Business School. I found him after Googling for German computer scientist. He recalls learning about Google while doing research work.
There wasn't really any Google there to Google what's going on. So you'd have to take it by rumors from your friends. And a colleague of mine told me to punch in the site, and then it was quite easy. I think the experience everyone knows, you tried it and you used it and you never went back to Alta Vista.
He says the company's search technology has always been a step ahead of the competition.
They came up with this PageRank algorithm, which is ranking them by a weighted number of inlinks for a particular page, because people had bookmarks and they would link to their favorite sites. But obviously, as the web became more popular, it became more business relevant to be ranked on the top of the list. So people would cheat themselves into getting a better ranking. And that obviously made the results worse in the long run, because people that weren't really that high-quality content would come up high in the ranks. So it's a continuous race where the content providers try to get up in the ranking, and Google tries to be fair and really have high-quality content ranked up in the first hits that you receive from Google. So they constantly have to adjust their algorithm. And I think the latest development is that they're now coming back to what used to be the way to rank web pages, which is based not on the link structure but more on the content. They place a high emphasis on the content now, again.
But search isn't all they do. In 2000, they started selling ads linked to keywords, and by 2004, had launched their own email service, Gmail, which beat the competition in terms of free storage space and flexibility of use, and added an income stream by selling ads linked to keywords in the text of the mails. Now they're offering web hosting, online applications, and of course, Google Earth.
Because there's been a lot of talk in the e-commerce bubble around 2000 about something called location-based services being the next big thing, after mobile commerce and B2B and B2C and all the other buzzwords around. And location-based services was also one of those buzzwords. And I think what Google Earth has achieved is really to have very easy to use and quite a comprehensive platform that you can use to develop location-based services, right? So if you're a real estate agent, you know, it's a great tool. If you're just trying to find your way from point A to point B, it's a great tool. So I think it enables a lot of other services and applications, and that makes it really exciting.
And they've shown an ability to innovate in all areas of technology, whether software, connectivity, or hardware.
They're still using clusters of Linux machines to distribute the load for the Google search engine and also for most of their other services. And so that distributed approach allows them to have much lower cost in terms of storage space. So rather than buying one mainframe with a terabyte for X millions of dollars, they buy 100,000 regular off-the-rack PCs that, you know, come in total at a much cheaper cost per gigabyte.
They've also moved into niche markets, going, for example, head-to-head against the providers of massive scientific databases, says Frank Kastenholz, a German biologist.
If you're looking for a scientific publication, you can enter the author or the subject, and it we'll do a special search within, you know, scientific book companies like Elsevier or O'Reilly or whatever, and give you a list of scientific publications only.
But that service still has plenty of kinks, and Strehl says there are clouds on the horizon. Privacy, for one. The company seems to be constantly at odds with European authorities over how it should manage the data that lands in its computers.
The whole discussion about privacy and data privacy, I think, is something that, seeing Google as very integrated, very broad offering gives reason for some concern.
But the big test is whether they can maintain their spirit of innovation after growing so big so fast. Steil says it's not a sure thing, but believes they're on the right track.
There's been talks about them moving into more into messaging. I mean, they have an online chat service called Google Talk, and they might get into the mobile phone space. So they might become a telco to some extent. And they might also be coming to move into the operating system domain. I mean, they offer a lot of applications already, which are potentially competitive to what Microsoft's offering. And it's based on the net. So I think it's a quite compelling value proposition there.
Steve Zwick, Deutsche Welle Radio.